Tango Tango Papa 1939, December 14, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Walcott, Iowa. So I unloaded this afternoon in Chicago. And so in the meantime, they sent a load that picked up in DeKalb, Illinois, which is, it was about 75 miles or so from where I unloaded at. So, but DeKalb is somewhat west of the Chicago area, kind of in a more rural area of Illinois, northern Illinois. And so now I'm on my way to Ponca City, Oklahoma. And so I'm not really sure if I'm going to be going directly home from Ponca City. The load's supposed to unload very early in the morning on the 17th. I'm not going directly home from there. As I wasn't due home, I'm not really due home until the 19th to begin my vacation. They could come up with some little short load, or since that's so close to home, they could just send me home directly from there. So, but they didn't know today. They weren't sure. So I'll find out. Not a problem. So in the meantime, I've got plenty of, today's the 14th, so I've got plenty of time to get from here to Ponca City, Oklahoma. Ponca City is... west of Tulsa, the Tulsa area, kind of a long Interstate 35, or it's fairly close to Interstate 35, which goes north and south between Oklahoma City and Wichita, Kansas. So right now I've got, what the GPS says, 624 miles, the 15th and the 16th, to get there. So anyway, the reason there's another podcast in a row is because I've got feedback. And so feedback really kind of helps motivate me to podcast, kind of keep things current. So first of all, we're going to start off with an email. Let me see if I can, there's the email. So this is an email from Mike, and he says, Tom, thanks for considering the Krampus topic. Worth the effort to develop a podcast about. Your ability to take a subject and within hours create insightful commentary is a true gift. Although I was concerned about this pagan-like activity being quite concerning, I hadn't thought about this or Santa tradition being dangerous as well. Many of us well-meaning Christians have been raised to believe that the guy in the red suit is just cheery old chap and an innocent story for our kids. We then lead our children down the same path and the tradition continues. But in reality, this myth just diverts us from the real meaning of Christmas. You've given me, and I'm sure many of your listeners, a lot to consider here. You may not be far off in what you told me about the Santa spelling and his suit of red. As always, you have the ability to help your listeners explore various angles to any subject. Tom, have a wonderful holiday with family. I hope you enjoy some rest, relaxation, and well-deserved break from the road. And that's from Mike. So thank you, Mike. Little kids... You know, we're not, people have this idea, and I think I suffered from it too for a long time. We have this idea that if we could just raise our kids properly, that you know, we would be able to save them all kinds of hurt and that type of thing, you know. And you know, if you could just teach them properly, then you're going to save them from all kinds of hurt. That's really not the way that we should be looking at it. You know, they're going to get hurt. And then the other problem with kids is that I'm convinced that you could have perfect parents, just the absolute perfect parents that did everything right, and they could end up with a bad kid. Because when you know, you have to understand, when we come into this world, I'm convinced that we have this proclivity. We want to play God in our own minds. And so we, in other words, we want to, we have a desire to sort of, that's kind of built into us, to misuse the tools that we've been given. We, you know, we have this ability to resent, which, if you think about it, that is actually a blessing. Now, you know, how can I say that? How can I say that the ability to resent is a blessing? God blessed us with that. But the blessing, of course, instantly, you know, once you resent, it turns into a curse. But you have to have the ability to do it, and probably to go ahead and do it, and then you find out that it was the wrong thing to do, because that's how we, you know, we resent, and then we be, and then we're proud of it. That's how we play God in our own minds, and but we have to go through that. And that's the idea. The idea of salvation is that we can be saved from it, you know. But we have to want to be saved from it. So I can, you know, the little kids, you know, with their birthdays and Christmas and what have you, you know. That, I think it's fine, as long as the parents don't go too far overboard, and they kind of try to encourage their children to have common sense, then the child is going to be, if the child has his own connection to common sense, that's the whole point, the whole key. If the child has his or her own connection to common sense, then they are able to deal perfectly with an imperfect world. And so that's the real thing, is to the real goal, as I see it, and of course this is coming from someone that doesn't have any kids and never will have any kids, but nonetheless, I've got an opinion about it. As I see it, the whole goal of a parent, or, you know, or the major part of the goal of a parent, is to raise a child that has his or her own connection to their common sense. And if you can achieve that, then the child is self-correcting. The child can then learn to deal perfectly with an imperfect, you know, kind of live perfectly interact perfectly with an imperfect world. And so that should be the goal of a parent, is to, you know, to get the child to connect with their own common sense. But it's so easy to end up going overboard and cause the child to disconnect from their own common sense. And unfortunately, we see that around us constantly. It just seems like it gets worse and worse. child comes into the world. They have these crazy parents that don't want to see themselves. The child is more innocent than they are, and the parents try to corrupt. They end up, you know, they're under psychological compulsion to corrupt the child, to stop the child from looking at them, you know, with the innocent eyes, you know, kind of make the child guilty. And, you know, as I say, people are under a, you know, parents are under compulsion to do that. So, you know, the child, because the child's more innocent, they can make the parent feel guilty. You know, if there's somebody that's more innocent than you are, that is next to you, or that you're interacting with, if you're not aware, then there's a compulsion to get those people to kind of become guilty. I don't know if you've ever had the experience. You know, I don't drink alcohol. I don't. You know, I have never liked the taste of it, and so therefore I just stay away from it. And so there's been numerous occasions where I've been around relatives and then friends that are drinking. This has happened a number of times over the years, and you know, they'll offer me some sort of drink, and you know, alcoholic drink, and I something. No, I don't drink. I don't, you know, don't have anything really against it, but I don't like the taste of it. Don't want any. And they, in many cases, they'll try to get me to drink. And it's kind of a weird thing, but it's almost like somehow me being there, even though I'm not saying anything, me being there and not kind of partaking of the drink the way they are, somehow bothers them. And so that sort of illustrates the principle that I'm talking about. So, but it's just something to be aware of, you know, the Santa Claus and you know, the season of giving and all of that. You know, a kid can participate in that, and I think it's probably good for the kid to participate in it. But at the same time, the parent should also talk to the kid and point out to them these principles. And I think you might be surprised. Little kids are often able to grasp these principles much more readily than adults can. If you kind of explain, you know, point out to them and explain to them, they can, you know, a small kid is much closer to innocence than the adult is. So kids can grasp these principles. So anyway, thank you, Mike, for the email. So let me, so I also, now I have a couple of voice comments as well. So the first one we're going to listen to is a short one from Ian. So here is Ian.
Just a short voicemail, Tom, before I go out walking. In your discussion this morning, I did not hear one mention of your company pension, or one mention of your 401k, or even Medicaid, or whatever you call it at 65. That's a huge factor at 65 to get your medical covered. And if you could live on your company pension for a couple of years, then you could hold off on your your Social Security kicking in. So I thought I'd just mention a couple of things and send them off to you. Have a great day.
Okay, well, thank you, Ian. I thought I did mention, I do have a couple of 401ks. One from the company I'm with right now, and then I have another one. Let's see, I have another one that from the company I was with prior, and then I have yet another one. That's either a 401k or it's an IRA, one of the two. I'd have to actually look at it, but so I've got three different things. So, but, you know, and I have that, you know, those are there. And of course, if I started taking it out now, I'm too young and, penalty. So can't really touch that. Don't even want to think about those three different things that I have where I've got money, you know, the retirement money saved. Just set those to the side and kind of forget they exist for right now. Now, there is no, the company I'm with, there is no company pension. That kind of has gone out the window with most companies, at least in the United States. Now, Ian, of course, is in Canada, and so I don't know if the Canadian companies might do things differently there or not, but... most companies don't have a company pensions, and that's certainly true with trucking companies. Unless the only case where that might be, where there might be some sort of company pension, would be if it was a union type situation, which Teamsters union or whatever. There are a few companies that may still have pensions, not trucking companies that I'm aware of, but I'm thinking like automobile company, Ford or GM or whatever. I don't know if they still have company pensions for current employees. There are different companies that may still do that, but most companies were able to get rid of that responsibility, and then you had the idea that people would have IRA accounts. Those would be more portable as opposed to a company pension. An IRA account, they could just take that with them, or because it would belong to them and not be tied to the company, or 401ks. Although 401ks are typically kind of still tied to the company, but I have no company pension, so that that idea is out. So I think, as I was saying in the last podcast, I think what I'll do, I'm continuing to pay my house off, but got about roughly 10 more payments to go, so 10 more months. And that will be paid off. And so the idea is to get rid of debt and, save money beyond what I already have. And kind of continue with, continue the way I have been. Except that I'll be out of debt. And at some point I'll be out of debt, and then I can save money. And just if I can, provided that I can, continue to go to the age of, my full retirement age, since I was born in, April of 1955, my full retirement age is 66 years plus 2 months. So, and that's about, so I'm 60 right now. Well, I'm actually 60 plus 8 months, so you'd add 6 years and 6 months. So, I've got about 6 years and 6 months to go. Wait a minute, is that right? 61, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 5 years. Actually, 5 years and 6 months. To get to 66 years plus 2. Because right now I'm 60 and then 8, 60 plus 8 months. And then in about 4 months or so, I'll be, 4 and a half months actually, I'll be 61, and then so then I'll have 5 more years plus 2 months, and then I can get the full Social Security benefit. So, and at that point, then I could, you know, also, unless they change the laws or something collapses or whatever, you know, since, you know, there's plenty of things that could happen between now and then, you know, then I could just go on the Medicare or whatever, and that would be that. So my intention right now, so I basically got 5 years and let's say 5.5 years, roughly 5.5 years to go before I hit age 66 plus 2 months. So, you know, but, you know, once I'm 62, then if something were to change, where I, you know, I couldn't drive anymore, you know, something happened, then, you know, I would at least have the option to do something different. But right now, I think I'll just, you know, kind of continue the way I have been and, you know, see what happens. But someone had asked me, you know, well, how's your health? Well, my health is actually fine. I'm just as pretty much as healthy as I ever have been. I've always had been, you know, been blessed with pretty good health, and that kind of continues to this day. And in fact, I would say that I'm certainly in better health now than I was, you know, a number of years ago when I was working at the eye clinic. Of course, you know, that couple of years where I was working at that eye clinic, you know, I was around all those other people, and then you had all these patients coming and going, and even though they were eye patients, it seemed like, you know, I was, could end up getting, you know, kind of catching things, although I, you know, I don't know, even there, you know, a lot of the women that worked in that clinic, it seemed like they were getting sick all the time. And, you know, they were getting sick more often than I was. But once I got away from there, then, you know, I've, you know, been pretty, you know, healthy. You know, I've never, worst problems, the absolute worst problem that I've had since quitting the eye clinic was food poisoning. And I'm pretty sure it was salmonella, and I've described that before. I ate at this, there's this TA truck stop at Columbia, New Jersey, along Interstate 80. And I went in there, and I it was late in the evening, and I ordered off the menu, and I the menu, or, you know, the whatever it was I ordered came with a salad bar. And so I went to the salad bar, and I got some lettuce, and I got a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then some ranch dressing on top. And so I ate the meal, and then about, I don't know, six and a half hours later, I was asleep. And I suddenly woke up with really violent stomach cramps, and I'm talking violent stomach cramps and stuff coming out of both ends just hit me all at once. And it took a good week before I was able to get over that. And so in the meantime, you know, my intestines were really empty, and I couldn't eat much. My intestines were empty, and I was just like a zombie. I was just dead on my feet. You know, and that little episode caused me to realize that we don't realize it, but we depend on our digestive system, on our intestines in particular, to they're feeding us energy all the time, constantly. We don't think about it. We grumble about our immune system. You know, people just gripe about their, or not their immune system, but their digestive system. they gripe about it and, you know, don't think much about it. But in the meantime, where do you think you get your energy from? You know, because if that thing's empty, if that system is empty, if it's completely empty, it's like zombie. You know, it's like, you know, no energy. try doing that and driving a truck at the same time. See how that works out. So, but that's really probably the worst problem that I've had. And I've had a few little colds here and there. And so, but I really am blessed with pretty decent health. So, you know, I don't know. I think what sort of spurred all of this was I was talking to my middle brother. And I think I mentioned this in the podcast last night. He is going to retire at age 62. You know, quit his job and retire. And so, you know, that's kind of what spurred me to think about this. And then the other thing is, you know, you have all these millions and millions and millions of people that aren't working now. And then, you know, the people that do still work are just, you know, kind of working their rear ends off. And I don't know. I you know, I'm kind of getting tired. You know, you imagine the, you know, the nest full of baby birds, and the baby birds have their, you know, their beaks pointed straight up in the air waiting for mama to come put a worm in it. Well, I'm getting kind of tired of putting worms in, you know, putting the worms in the, in those mouth, in the mouths of the people that, you know, are just there, complaining and whining and moaning and groaning. And, in the meantime, they're not producing anything. And they're, you know, so I don't know, but I'll, you know, as I say, I'll continue. I plan on continue working and then, get out of debt, save more money, see what happens. So, anyhow, thank you, Ian. And then I've got another voice file from, this one's longer, it's from Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here, Life and Ohio Podcast. Listening to your other podcast there. Talking about Santa Claus. You know, I'm kind of indifferent on that. I don't think it was not really ever used, at least in my family, as a, you better be good for goodness sake kind of thing. You know, maybe in jest, you know, maybe a couple times, you know, but if you look at the origins of Santa Claus, it's actually not, you know, even though the letters are the same, you know, why the change from Saint Nicholas to Santa Claus, I am not 100% sure. However, I can tell you this, the Santa Claus has probably got more to do now with the secular version of Christmas than it does Christmas itself. You know, Christmas being the celebration of Jesus's birth, which, you know, in historically too, if you look at the Bible and the scriptures, Jesus really wasn't born now. And the real origin of Christmas, a lot of folks kind of confuse this. And Christmas is, you know, don't get me wrong, Christmas is a Christian holiday. And I consider it one. But its origins were of a pagan nature. Used to be the I believe the pagan celebration is called Saturnalia. So it's an interesting origin there. And in a lot of the things that we consider Christmas tradition, probably grew out of that celebration, where we adopted some of the pagan symbols. you know, like the Christmas tree, and stockings being hung by the chimney with care. Krampus itself was a, I'm trying to remember, I think Krampus was a Dutch, had a Dutch origin, if I remember right. So, might be wrong on that, but you know, but it to these kinds of things interest me, just like, you know, I'm a Christian. It drives me nuts when people will say, let's keep the X out of Christmas. Yet, back in the day, the X symbol was actually a symbol for Christ. And a lot of self-proclaimed Christians nowadays will point to that as taking Christ out of Christmas when it's actually the opposite. You know, so, you know, and then there was also another article from The Atlantic, too, that talked about how the modern-day nativity scene is probably incorrect. For example, and much of this comes from the Catholics in the Renaissance period, where they were basically paying artists to draw, to do things like the Nativity, and they painted what would normally be a European male for Jesus instead of a Middle Eastern Jew, which is, you know, what Jesus would be. So just things to think about, you know, and to me, I don't actually set up a nativity. We did when we were young, you know, for me, I wanted to set up a Christmas tree this year, just don't have the time to right now. I'm just involved with too many different things around the holidays, mostly because, I serve a lot at the church and do things like that. So, you know, it's a good time of the year to be with family. I don't even care as much if my family gets me a gift. I mean, they're going to, it's going to happen. But I don't care as much nowadays as I used to. Greatly accept the gift, you know, I actually in some ways look forward to it a little bit, you know, but if I don't get something I want, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed, you know? And that's what I think, really, that's actually, I think it's one of the consumeristic version of Christmas that I try to steer away from as much as I possibly can. So, you know, some of the things I'll take advantage of, like some of the stuff I would normally not do during, I won't do during the holidays. Things like I won't write a lot in the blog. And some of that's just time and just enjoying the time and relaxing, you know. So, Christmas is stuff. It's a good time for me with family. For me, it's more about family nowadays. You know, it's interesting too. I do the video recording, and we asking kids about Christmas, and there's just seems to be the modern version of Christmas seems to be more about getting stuff, and I'm real pleased with some of the reactions I got from the kids, where they like, I had one kid who really didn't care too much about gifts, you know, and several of the kids said, I don't know, you know, when you asked them what they wanted for Christmas. So, you know, all's not lost. All's not lost. But in a similar note, though, when you talk about all that's going wrong with this world, you know, we're in a lost and dying world. I know you know that. But I got in a conversation online, and I actually think he actually blocked me from his wall. I'm still friends with him. He has not befriended me, but I think he actually blocked me from seeing anything on his wall because I haven't seen a post in since November 29th. But he was on the rant about the shootings in San Bernardino and stuff like that, and I kind of posited to him a couple things, and I always challenge this guy because basically he is right lockstep barrel with the liberal agenda, and you know, and he just doesn't see how that it could be right. Yeah, it's not right, you know. But in the same token, we can't blame. It's like blaming your truck. You know, if you got an accident, and say, it doesn't matter whose fault it is, but ultimately, it's not the truck's fault that somebody died or somebody got hurt when you get in an accident. It's your fault, or maybe the person who cut you off, you know, and we tend to in this nation, I think part of the problem I think that I've been seeing has been a lot of us like to think too simplistically. We think, well, there's got to be something to stop, you know, these killings and stop this and stop that, do this, do that. Mostly the liberal side is of the aisle, or the people who follow that mantra there, you know, they're the ones that think you can actually do something. And in reality, we're not in control. You know, it's not something that we can control. We can't control when somebody has a bad thought. We can't control when somebody decides to do something with a gun. And making all kinds of laws for the guns and for anything else related to that isn't gonna help. You know, like for example, you know, they're gonna attempt to make laws for drones, and they're also basically trying to get drone manufacturers to make air controllers and stuff so that they won't fly into planes and stuff like that, or in certain locations. And the reality is, they can't really do that. And about the only thing solution to that matter is going to be very much. I think it's going to be very much like CB radio was, where although it may actually continue beyond that, where you pay a fee to the government. And you either take a test or something to that effect. Although how they're going to maintain that, I have no idea. So anyway, that's some of my ruminations on some of the stuff you've been talking about recently. Hope you have a good holiday, and we'll talk at you later.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joel. So the Christmas thing, like I was saying before. If anything, you know, it's fine for little kids as long as the parents don't go, you know, the parents and other relatives, especially the parents, don't go overboard. Now, my parents, you know, I pretty much knew that there was no Santa Claus, you know, and I don't remember how I knew that, you know, but I never did believe, you know, that there was a Santa Claus. I just, you know, knew that was, you know, I don't know if it was the fact that I just saw through it, but I don't think my parents ever really tried to convince me that there was. But I had a cousin that, you know, he believed that there was a Santa Claus, and I think he was really I don't know how upset, but he, even after he was, you know, his parents told him there was no Santa Claus, how old would he have been? I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, and he still wasn't sure, you know, because my mom was talking to him, and he still wasn't sure if there was a Santa Claus or not. You know, he's kind of like wavering, you know, even though his parents, you know, I think had already told him there was no Santa Claus. So it's a, you know, the parents shouldn't lie to their kids. They should, you know, make it clear that, hey, this is a tradition. This is a family, you know, kind of a tradition that we do, that our culture does. And we put out the Christmas tree and the Christmas lights and wrap up the gifts underneath the tree and, you know, and you know, the kids get excited and what have you. Well, that's all well and good. The other part of it that you mentioned is family. And that's really the part of it that I enjoy, is being around my relatives. And I'm fortunate enough that I get along really well with my parents and my two younger brothers. We all get along pretty good. And, you know, and their families and what have you, we all get along pretty well. So that I enjoy kind of being around the family, you know, kind of having a family, kind of sort of a group gathering. Now, there's a lot of people that become depressed, you know, around Christmas time. That can be kind of a depressing time and for them. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm alone on Christmas or whatever. But why would that be any different than any other time of the year? If they're alone, let's say their parents are dead or whatever, they're alone. Well, they're alone the rest of the time. What is it? Something is that indicates there's something about Christmas that you know, kind of is making it, you know, seem worse. Now, what could that possibly be? So, I think with a lot of people, I think it's a very common thing, unfortunately, where they have, especially with dead relatives, they've got unfinished business. They probably resented those dead relatives, and they never got over the resentment. And you know, that's how you end up with kind of unfinished business. You know, with a, you know, and then the dead person, you still got, you know, they're still sort of haunting you from a, you know, you still got a conflict with them that was never resolved while they were alive. And so that's kind of a problem for a lot of people. It's kind of like, you know, you end up with an itch that's really difficult to scratch. Now, even if the person dies, let's say you have unfinished business with parents, and usually it's parents. Or, you know, that's the probably the most common is parents, because parents are the first people we encounter when we come into this world. They're usually the first people that we resent, or, you know, if you only have one parent, then you resent the lack of the other one. You know, if no dad, you resent sort of as a generic placeholder. But it is possible to, you just have to get over it. You have to recognize that you have the resentment. And without rolling your sleeves up and trying to fix it, the way to sort of deal with it is to be able to recognize it. Recognize that you hated your parents. And that's a, you know, it's kind of a difficult thing for a lot of people to do. But if you can do that, then if you can do that and kind of come out on the other side of that experience, you know, and really let go of the resentment that you have towards your parents and other people, places, and things, if you can really do that, you come out on the other side and there's no more depression. There's no more, depression. People, psychologists, psychiatrists, people will tell, oh, it's normal to be depressed. It's part of life cycles. No, it's not. It's not normal. Depression isn't normal. You should never be depressed, ever. It should never happen. And if you do become depressed, then that's an indication that there's something wrong, something you're not looking at. It's always resentment that doesn't have anywhere to go, and then it comes back on the person that is doing the resenting. And it's a very simple thing. Does it cause a chemical imbalance? Well, of course it does. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, in this case, the resentment comes first. The resentment is what's causing the chemical imbalance in the brain. And then, I'll take a pill to try to correct the chemical imbalance without getting rid of the resentment. Well, if you can get rid of the resentment, that corrects the whole thing, and you're off to the races. And the other problem with that, you have resentment, it screws up your immune system, and you end up with all kinds of diseases and maladies and God knows what. So if you can get rid of resentment, but the proper way, by kind of facing it fair and square, then it has just absolutely untold benefits for your existence. So anyway, kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent there. So family, I do agree that family is that's probably the most important. And I've just made it clear that I don't give too many gifts. And if I do, if I do give a gift, then it's just kind of spontaneous, and it's not because it's gift-giving time of the year or whatever. And if somebody wants to get me a gift, well, I'm going to say thank you, but that's not, I absolutely do not feel obligated to reciprocate, and so I've really tried to make that clear, and really kind of clear it up, and it gets rid of any kind of awkwardness. So but if you can just make it clear, then people are able, or my relatives have been kind of able to accept that, and so there's no, I don't feel awkward about it, and I hope that they don't. They don't seem to. So, the other thing you were talking about, the liberals, and I don't know. It's the liberals, but this also can apply to conservatives, but liberals. And I'm talking kind of about the ones we have today, kind of the angry leftists. They kind of end up in their own little virtual reality world. And it's, some of them, you try to talk common sense to them. And it doesn't do any good. It's a waste. It's really kind of a waste of time, because you're never going to convince them. It's not possible to convince them. You can try all the logic in the world, and it's really a waste of time. And so I don't know. I still get trapped into kind of arguing with them from time to time, but. It really is kind of a waste of time. And if the best thing to do with anybody, if you're having a discussion, is just to be, right up front, honest. Don't try to spare their feelings. Be honest, and they may think you're trying to insult them, but the fact of the matter is that truth the truth can seem insulting. You know, the truth can seem aggressive, you know, microaggression. Sorry, but it is. The truth can be, the truth can hurt. Why do you think we spend so much time trying to bury it? You know, bury your conscience. You know, kind of get rid of the, you know, any kind of thought that you might, you know, you might have done something wrong. So, but, you know, the liberals are in particular, you know, it's easy to see how they do it. But, they, you know, there are other people on the far right can do the same thing. But in our culture today, it seems to be mostly kind of on the political left where they, you know, they've sort of, they've got their little dream world that they're living in, and they try to surround themselves with other people, you know, that kind of think the same way, and everybody's got it. They, you know, they want everybody to think the same way they do. It's kind of like I was describing before. You know, if you're in a room full of people that are drinking, they want you to drink with them. You know, they want everybody to be the same. And then they, you know, because if you don't, you know, you're there and you're not drinking and they are, and somehow you're making them feel self-conscious. They don't want to feel self-conscious. And they think, well, if I can just get everybody to drink, then everything's good. You know, then it's, because if we're all doing it, then it means that it's a good behavior kind of thing. So externalized people look for reinforcing, you know, sort of the reinforcements from the people around them. And nobody dare deviate. Everybody has to be the same. You know, make it normal, and then that way it'll get rid of conscience. Of course, it doesn't work. It cannot work. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. And so, by the way, if you want more podcasts more frequently, either send me some voice files or some, you know, emails or both. You know, God interact, because that's kind of what, you know, gives me the motivation to do this. You know, interact with me, because otherwise it's going to be slow going. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.